what are the biggest issues right now in federal contract management?
Well, there are a lot of big issues. One of the biggest, I think, is where we're going with the reduction in budgets with our acquisition workforce. As you know, there was a downsizing of the acquisition workforce, part of the peace dividend, during the 1990s. And we've now added some, especially DOD has added some acquisition professionals to its workforce. We certainly added some in Department of Veterans Affairs. But as we downsize, again, as the budgets get smaller, we all wonder where we're headed with our these new professionals that we have added to the contracting workforce.
So we're talking about 1102s specifically, that job category, or is
we're talking
others?
Specifically in this case about 1102s, the contracting professionals across the government.
Now, there are other people involved in contracting besides the specific 1102s. Who are some of those people?
Oh, certainly. The of course, the customer is the requiring activity, or most often the program management office. They're our customer. Contracting professionals support the program managers. The program managers are responsible for costs, schedule, and performance and quality. And the contracting officer supports them by putting a viable contract in place and then administering that contract during the life of the program. The other important person in the life of a contract is the contracting officer's representative. We still call them contracting officer technical representatives outside of Department of Defense, but we're all going to use the same term beginning in January. The contracting officer representative serves as the eyes and the ears for the contracting officer, and they're a very, very important piece of the contract administration process.
All right, I want to get back to that, but first, I've always had this question. When does procurement end or acquisition end and contract management begin, or is it part of one big continuum?
It's part of one big continuum. There are pre-award activities, obviously. The contracting officers are involved with the program management office in developing the requirements. But it's a large continuum. That moves after the requirements are defined. It moves to the solicitation stage, source selection. And after the contract is put in place, there's a lot of responsibility that lies on the shoulders of the contracting officers to administer the contract properly in support of the program management office.
So that makes it a double worry if some of these new contracting officers lose their jobs or have to be rift in some way. If they have launched a contract in that period of time when you were adding them, you really want the same person around to make sure that that particular contract has the continuity of management from the beginning.
Well, that's certainly nice. It's certainly beneficial to have this same contracting officer who let the contract continue to administer it, but it's not absolutely essential. Contracting professionals are capable of putting contracts in place and then handing those contracts over to other contracting professionals who can take up where they left off.
Now, that COR question, contracting officer representative, as you mentioned, they have a new system of certification. They have a new title. This is all coming from the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. And you're talking about making sure there's enough 1102s contracting officers. What about CORs? Are there enough of those? And what kind of people are they? What kind of skills do they have?
Well, CORs are a very important part of the acquisition team. Although they're not typically acquisition professionals, not 1102s, not contracting officers or program managers, they certainly perform a absolutely critical function in that they understand the program, they're the eyes and the ears for the contracting officer, there's constant feedback between the CORs and the program office, so they're a very, very important piece of the acquisition team. We can't get by without them.
Now, the removal of that word technical from their title, does that imply anything? In other words, are they looking more at qualitative issues and the overall value of the contract to the program and less about the picky details of the T's and C's in the contract?
No, I don't think so. It's a nuance, and it's one that that I think is necessary. It's nice that we're outside of DOD going to use the same parlance to refer to a contracting officer representative as they do, because obviously Department of Defense has the largest workforce. So I think it's just a convenience thing, but probably no hidden meaning there.
Okay, and so you will have CORs in the civilian side in increasing numbers also?
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to train them much more extensively. As you may know, This new requirement that came out of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy requires three levels of certification. So essentially, for a simple contract, for a simple program, the training and education of the COR won't be extensive. But for much more complex, much more vexing requirements, we'll certainly train our COORs more extensively.
We're speaking with Jan Fry. He's Deputy Assistant Secretary for Acquisition at Veterans Affairs and Chair of the Government Contract Management Conference. Now, this is the 30th year of this conference. I imagine things change from year to year. How is it different from, say, 5 years ago?
Well, I can't really tell you that because I'm a prodigal son. I was involved early on in my career with NCMA. And then I departed. I guess I had the feeling that NCMA wasn't really anything I needed. What a mistake that was. I came back about 4 years ago, and I've been involved heavily in NCMA. I've been a speaker at conferences. The VA workforce, many of them are members of NCMA and very active members, I might add. So I think that NCMA adds a lot to a contracting professional's career.
Okay, and let me ask you about that. What does it take? What skills are required besides the, well, you tell me, what are the top skills that a good contract manager, good contracting officer really has to have?
Well, there are essentially three skills. First, technical skills. And this conference provides that continuing education to help each of us stay on top of our profession. Secondly, are conceptual skills, putting the pieces together, seeing the big picture. And this conference helps us to understand the big picture in a huge way. I've used these NCMA conferences over the last 4 years to help me, and it's been a terrific help for me in my duties with Department of Veterans Affairs. And finally, interpersonal skills. And this may be the most important skill that contracting officers need in performing their duties. If we can't get along with people, obviously we're not going to do well with the team. This conference really gives contracting officers a chance to grow in this arena. They've got a chance to intermix with people, discuss problems that may be common across the spectrum, and it really gives them a chance to meet other people and interact with them and improve their interpersonal skills.
Now, do purchasing and acquisition skills from private industry, do those translate well to the federal side?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, there's talk about a common certification across industry and government, because they are absolutely skills that mesh. And by the way, people in industry, contracting professionals in industry, make great contracting professionals on the government side, and vice versa.